Welcome to Earth Matters here on Gila Members Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM. This is Allison Civic, Executive Director of the Gila Resources Information Project, and I'm your host for today's program. Just a few weeks ago, our community learned that Holloman Air Force Base in Alamogordo is considering expanding its special use airspace to train F-16 fighter pilots. One of the alternatives being considered is to create a new military operations area outside of Silver City, including over the Gila National Forest and Gila Wilderness. The Air Force is proposing to fly 10,000 training sorties annually, including low-level flights at 500 feet above ground surface, as well as 1,000 supersonic sorties. The F-16s will also train with air defense systems that employ chaff and flares, as many as 30,000 annually. The Air Force did not hold a public meeting in Silver City or notify local elected officials about this proposal. Thanks to the public outcry and the efforts of local elected officials and conservation groups, the Air Force has agreed to attend a public meeting hosted by the Grant County Commission on Tuesday, November 14th at 6 p.m. at the Grant County Commission Chambers. They will brief commissioners about the Holloman proposal and accept public comment. There will be a rally beforehand starting at 5 p.m., and there'll be lots of special guests for that rally. So show up an hour early at the Grant County Commission building. So here with me today by phone to discuss the militarization of our skies is my guest, Carol Miller, founder and president of the Peaceful Skies Coalition that works to fight against the Air Force's efforts to turn 94,000 square miles of the Rocky Mountains in Colorado and New Mexico into a low-altitude spying and warfare training area. In addition to being a longtime peace activist, Carol is a public health and social justice activist. She has held several prestigious appointments in the Clinton and Reagan administrations and served on the New Mexico Commission on Higher Education under former Governor Bill Richardson. Good morning, Carol, and welcome to Earth Matters.
Thank you so much. It's great to have this opportunity to talk to people in southern New Mexico.
Carol, I should mention to everybody that you have a connection to Silver City. You're the founder and former executive director of the National Center for Frontier Communities based here in Silver City.
Yes, and this is my Silver City day because I have a conference call coming out of Silver City later this afternoon. Yay, Silver City.
Yay, Silver City.
Surrounding communities.
Well, I'm so...
Grant County, Hidalgo, and the others.
Yeah, I'm so glad you were able to make time for us today. And let's start off, Carol Miller. Tell us more about the Peaceful Skies Coalition. You all formed back in 2010 to fight Cannon Air Force Base's efforts to expand its low-altitude training area. Tell us more about this issue and what you all did.
Well, we actually formed as an ad hoc committee in the late 1990s when Cannon was planning a realistic bombing training initiative, which is actually what Holloman is proposing to do over the Gila and other areas. And we were able to fight that back, and we kind of disbanded at that time. And then in 2010, the communities reorganized because a new proposal came out. And that's when we realized that we needed to have some kind of permanent organization, because even if you think you win a victory with the Pentagon, there's so much money and so many new missions coming through there that sooner or later they'll be back looking for your airspace, ground space, water. So, you know, we're happy that we have now a 501c3 nonprofit, the Peaceful Skies Coalition, and it's allowed us to intervene and hopefully at some point have standing in a lot of matters around the country, not just in New Mexico.
So tell us a little bit about what Cannon was proposing in 2010 and some of your efforts to stop that proposal.
Well, they were proposing low-altitude flights with the Osprey, which is a very dangerous aircraft, and also with C-130s. And the Osprey needs to be refueled quite frequently. And, you know, we have to always bear in mind that it's not just the planes that they say they're flying. It's all of the refueling aircraft. And they were proposing basically to have night flights at low altitude. They started at 200 feet about above ground level, with quite a few possible landings. We see a huge number of what are HLZs, helicopter landing zones, being proposed and actually being created around the state of New Mexico. We have great concern about that. Some of our neighbors in the Cibola National Forest, the Magdalena Ranger District, has had some very disruptive flights. So we realize that the military treats New Mexico airspace and ground space and our public lands as training areas. And we're basically, our fundamental thing is we oppose military use of public lands, whether it's national forests, wilderness, national parks and monuments, wild and scenic rivers, BLM land, national grasslands, state lands, and UNESCO World Heritage Sites. We think they should all be free from military training.
Yeah, so happened the Cannon Air Force Base proposal was pretty significant from a land, from an area perspective, right? It was giant.
Well, it was the biggest increase of airspace that had been proposed in a long time, probably since White Sands was created during and after World War II. So it was just such a massive thing. And these are lands that are totally dependent. The people who live there, we're dependent on our public lands, not just for economic development and tourism, but also it's one of the last places of pristine land and water left in the continental United States. So the support was across every ideological line, every political line. People just came together in a way that was really quite beautiful and helped this movement really get started and stay started. We're still going. It's 6 years later. We celebrate things like World Peace Day and the National Day Against Military Spending. And, you know, we try and keep the issue alive so that people realize how fragile our public lands and airspace and waters are, and how we have to continue to fight for them to be protected.
And you were able to get thousands of comments submitted, right, as part of the NEPA or National Environmental Policy Act process for
yes,
that?
Yes, we were. And I think that that was really important, that the meetings that were held would have as many as 300 and 400 people in attendance. And we had to work with, and one thing that's really sad about the way the meeting is going to be conducted in Silver City is that it's not a public meeting. And so the county, I'm assuming, will keep the public record, but the base will not. They will not have to the way they do if it's a public meeting associated with NEPA. There's usually court reporters there documenting everything that's happening. And now it's going to be on the public side to do the documenting.
That's right. We have been told that Holloman will be accepting people's public comment in writing, and that it will be considered as part of NEPA scoping, because the public comment period ended on September 25th, and so they haven't really gotten into it. It's, you know, about a month beyond the end of the public comment period. So they have said that they will consider the public, any written public comments.
And I think that's important. We did submit a timely comment. A very lengthy and detailed comment was also submitted by one of the people who really keeps an eye on Holloman, Walt Kaufman in Weed, New Mexico. And there were just, what Holloman is proposing to do in southern New Mexico, they have segmented, which is a violation of NEPA. They have big plans for the airspace of southern New Mexico, and they're kind of leaking it out one small project at a time, and that's what's called segmentation. If they know what they're really going to do under NEPA, you're not supposed to break it up in small pieces. You're supposed to talk about the whole thing so that a baseline can be established, the cumulative impacts can be assessed, and Holloman has violated that in a very profound way. And also, you know, I mentioned that Fort Bliss has some very large airspace proposals, and Holloman in the scoping did not take into account what Fort Bliss, the Army base with a huge Air Force within it, the Army Air Force, is going after the same airspace.
Right, and we're going to talk about that in more detail coming up, because that's something that we just learned last week, that Fort Bliss, and thank you for giving me the heads up, that Fort Bliss does have this proposal for airspace here in our area. So we'll talk about that. But,
but
Carol, you talked about expansion of airspace land use by the military on our public lands. It seems like this is happening all over. I talked to Karen Sullivan of the West Coast Action Alliance here on Earth Matters a couple weeks ago, and her group has been fighting the Navy's training operations over the Olympic National Forest. And so what's happening? This isn't just here, it's all over.
It is all over, and it's where, you know, many of us keep hearing about, oh, the Pentagon budget's been increased, and, you know, consistently Congress puts in more money even than the president proposes, and where that goes is for hardware in many cases. And once they have it, they want to use it. And they do quite a bit of training every time they get either a new plane or more planes. And so, you know, what we've been seeing over the past decade really is huge increases of military spending. And once that happens, the F-35 is a good example of what's happening. I think even the public is aware that the Congress has established what they had hoped was going to be a cost-saving plane, the F-35, that there would be a Navy variant, a Marine variant, an Army variant, and the Air Force variant. And so now we have a huge inventory of planes with more coming off the assembly line literally on a daily basis and nowhere to fly them because our airspace had already been taken by F-22s, F-16s, the Growler, which is what they're fighting over the Olympic Peninsula. So every time new planes are bought, they want more airspace. So currently, there are community groups working in Idaho, in Vermont, South Carolina, Florida, Arizona, Michigan, you know, literally across the country, Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota. There are just these massive increases of airspace, what we call takings,
right,
that are underway. So we've been trying to bring people together, and in 2015, Peaceful Skies did have a national meeting we hosted in Taos, thanks to a little bit of grant support, and we were able to have a virtual and in-person meeting with people from 11 states, from Hawaii to Vermont to Alaska to Arizona and New Mexico. And it was really, it was so good for us to realize that we're kind of a hidden peace movement because we work on the community level and we're very focused on the tool of NEPA to make sure that training is protective of the environment. But it's a national and international movement that's going on.
Okay. So we'll be right back after this quick break and continue our conversation with Carol Miller of Peaceful Skies Coalition. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM. This is Allison Civic, Director of the Gila Resources Information Project and your host for today's program. We're talking to Carol Miller, founder and president of Peaceful Skies Coalition, about militarization of our skies. Holloman Air Force Base is proposing to expand its special use airspace, possibly to the Gila region, and fly 10,000 F-16 training sorties annually, including low altitude and supersonic flights and use of flares and chaff. There will be a public meeting hosted by the Grant County Commission on November 14th at 6 p.m. in the Grant County Commission chambers. Holloman has agreed to come and present its proposal and take written public comment. So, Carol, Peaceful Skies Coalition submitted scoping comments to the Air Force on the Holloman expanded airspace proposal. Can you tell us what your concerns are with the proposal?
Yes, I can. I just want to correct that I'm not per se the founder of Peaceful Skies. We have an amazing advisory group that came together, and so there are a lot of us hard at work on this.
So one of the many, many founders of Peaceful Skies Coalition.
Yes.
All right.
So I just wanted to clarify that. So Holloman is actually proposing up to 95,000 flights a year. What the 10,000 are the additional training flights by adding more F-16s into their mix of aircraft. So I just wanted to be clear about that and for people to know that a base activist group that wants to continue to expand Holloman either further, even further, is hoping to bring 100 F-35s to Holloman at some point in the future. So there's some pretty massive planning underway for Holloman. One of the real concerns we have, and this we've only learned about the dangers recently, the use of flares and chaff. People kind of say, oh, that's no problem. However, there are a lot of problems with it, and I just recently came across an Air Force document on the environmental effects of chaff and flares. And there are negative impacts, and they're particularly to water. Adverse effects, this is a quote from the report, which we gave to Holloman in our comment. Adverse effects to sensitive aquatic organisms, although unlikely, may be possible in certain small confined water bodies. These should be addressed in a case-by-case basis. Holloman never mentioned any of that or any special protections. And we've said that the draft EIS, when they prepare it, must address fire danger from the use of flares and chaff. We have consistently heard there was no problem with flares and chaff, but we know that it actually started a fire in New Jersey that burned more than 17,000 acres and destroyed 13 homes, and 6,000 people were evacuated from a flare fire. That was deployed too low. And we do know that just right above Silver City in the Magdalena Ranger District, when someone lost one of their cattle, they autopsied it and they actually found chaff in the stomach of the cow that had eaten it while they were out grazing, and they had absorbed enough that it killed the animal. So there are some really important things about flares and chaff that we have problems with, but that the bases tend to ignore when they just say that they're going to be using it.
Yes, and what about the noise, Carol? And there already are military flights over this area, but if people have not experienced it, might not really know just how frightening it is.
Well, it is, and actually Holloman is so guilty of having all the noise breaking the sound barrier, supersonic activity on a regular basis, that when you go to the Holloman website, the base website, they have a special link for reporting things that have happened as a result of the activity. For example, it sets off car alarms, it breaks windows. Holloman is, you know, pretty endlessly buying new windows for people and helping them address some of the physical harm to their home that happens. There's some real issues about schools and how supersonic noise and actually non-supersonic noise affects children and their ability to learn. This has been a huge issue in Tucson, where people are fighting the noise impacts of the base there. So there's some, the point I want to make, because Allison, you and I and so many listeners to this radio station really care about the environment. So we humans know that this is training, but wildlife and range animals, they don't know what's happening. There's no difference to nature by military training and war. You know, they're going to, they fly around and then they go to the bombing range and they drop more than a million rounds of ammunition every year just from Holloman. So, and this is happening at White Sands, it's happening at Fort Bliss, it's happening at the Melrose Range. So there really is a war underway on the environment in the name of military training.
Right. And thank you and your website, Peaceful Skies. Is it peacefulskies.org? Maybe you could.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Great resources. You've got videos up there. You've got a training video for folks who want to participate in these NEPA processes. Lots of great resources. Thank you for doing that, because I think that right now we are behind in getting up to speed on the Holloman proposal. And one of the things I would like for you to talk to us about and explain to us is one of your comments. You explained that Holloman does not have a comprehensive baseline. Why is this so important to assessing environmental impacts?
Well, that's what NEPA is. NEPA says you an independent assessment, which is, means not created by the military for the military, that you establish a baseline of what exists, and then you have to look at what does this new project do to that. And one thing I've learned about all of the airspace, they draw lines on a map of an airspace as if it's actually like a wall or a fence, and that's not how airspace works. And so we want a baseline that takes into effect things like migratory birds. I mean, where would the baseline be for all of the animals, that all of the avians that are in New Mexico in the winter? That baseline would be from Canada to New Mexico. It wouldn't be just a little line drawn around Bosque del Apache. You know, so we have actually called on the Pentagon to create a national baseline of everything that exists today, and so that all future NEPA things would be able to look at cumulative effects on top of that baseline, because without an accurate baseline, it's really such a flagrant violation of NEPA that we bring it up in every single comment that we do, which is more than 20 comments that we have around the country right now.
Yeah, and you mentioned cumulative impact. So what does that mean, and why is that important?
Well, that's supposed to, you know, guide the public and in commenting on it, that, well, we're going to add this on top, and what would those impacts be? But if you don't have a realistic baseline, we're just reliant on what they say the cumulative impacts are. And it's really harmful, because NEPA includes, like, social and economic data, and frequently we'll see things in New Mexico EIS that just say, oh, people are already poor, and they're just going to, it's isn't going to increase any more poverty. Or when we look at things like climate change, which I'm expecting to be taken out of the NEPA requirement under the new administration, they just say, well, we're already doing 100,000 flights, so another 50,000 flights won't be that bad. They do that when it goes to water quality, air quality, but we're not confident that the baseline is real.
That's right. So one other thing, and we'll get into this in the next segment, but the fact that Fort Bliss also is proposing use of airspace over the Gila, yet if the Holloman proposal is the only thing that's measured and you're not measuring all these other things or the cumulative impacts of all these other actions, then it minimizes the impacts, right?
Well, to get a true baseline for the Gila, it would be important to have it include all activities of Fort Bliss, all activities of Holloman, all activities on White Sands, and also Davis-Monthan, which is based in Tucson, but which does fly over western New Mexico. And then we might even have to put in Fort Huachuca, the Army base in Sierra Vista, in Arizona, and Kirtland Air Force Base, based in Albuquerque. All of them are in this airspace. And, you know, to say, well, we're only flying over the Magdalena Ranger District, as if the wind doesn't blow into other areas that are being impacted by Holloman, Davis-Monthan, White Sands. I mean, that's why we keep getting back in all of our comments to NEPA, that we need the Pentagon to do a national, a continent-wide baseline.
Right. One question I have, you have familiarity with this, but it makes it seem like they're only going to fly here in this sort of, they've drawn like this very vague ellipse on this map. You can't really tell what the boundaries are of this expanded military operations area. But it's kind of like, well, how did the planes get here? They don't just automatically drop into the airspace from Holloman. They have to fly here. How do they get here? And so it seems like none of that is really elaborated. And how does that work?
Well, that's what's so troubling. They're going to fly from Holloman. They say if it's above a certain elevation, they don't really need to say anything. And they're also not talking about how many times those planes will be refueled, which is a much bigger issue for different aircraft, like the Osprey that can only fly 500 miles without being refueled, and some of the massive helicopter training that's planned by Fort Bliss. Those are getting refueled all the time, or they're just flying and they're landing on private airstrips or mostly municipal airports. Las Vegas, New Mexico is a touch-and-go landing refueling site for the Ospreys and C-130s out of Kirtland Air Force Base. So we have to worry about Grant County Airport. Taos just built with FAA funds a new longer runway, which we're very concerned about that being used for more military landings. And there are a lot of private airstrips around New Mexico, so we're not sure how many of those will be used for refueling or also for landing practice. It's not as if they just go up in the air, fly around that MOA and then leave. They're over our heads the whole time.
Right, right. So when you say refueling for some of these planes, you also mean it could be in the air refueling. Is that right?
Right. The airborne refueling is extremely common, and it's happening all the time in the air above New Mexico and anywhere that there's bases, really endlessly have large C-130s full of jet fuel doing refueling. And it looks, it just looks so safe on some level because the gas line comes out of one plane and they hook up and then they transfer all the fuel to the other plane. And, but in reality, we had at a public hearing in Las Vegas, New Mexico, the Air Force colonel admitted that every refueling has some spill.
Oh, I'm sure.
And you think about that just even when you fuel your car at the gas pump.
Right.
You pretty much always smell that gas.
Right.
And what they say is that because refueling is done at higher altitude, that it's aerosolized by the time it lands and it's not a problem. We do not believe that.
Okay.
We think that it is a problem and that while we're on the ground protecting our wild and scenic rivers, and certainly you all at the Gila are leading the way trying to protect the last free flowing river in New Mexico, we know that there are pollutants from military training falling into our waters.
Right. We'll be right back after this short break for the second half of our show on militarization of our skies with Carol Miller of Peaceful Skies Coalition. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the second half of Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM. This is Allison Civic, Director of the Gila Resources Information Project, and your host for today's program. We're talking to Carol Miller, one of the many founders and the president of Peaceful Skies Coalition, about militarization of our skies. As many of you know by now, Holloman Air Force Base is proposing to expand its special use airspace, possibly to the Gila region, and fly 10,000 F-16 training sorties annually, including low altitude and supersonic flights, and use flares and chaff. There will be a public meeting hosted by the Grant County Commission on November 14th at 6 p.m. in the Grant County Commission chambers. Holloman has agreed to come and present his proposal and take written comment. There will also be a rally at 5 p.m. with several guest speakers, so we hope you can join us early at 5 o'clock. So, Carol, thanks so much for telling me on Friday, when we were preparing for this show, that Fort Bliss in El Paso also has a proposal for a local flying area that includes the Gila National Forest and the Gila Wilderness. The Army says that it needs the local flying area to provide realistic training for its combat aviation brigade. Now, Peaceful Skies Coalition, your organization, commented on this proposal. Can you give us a brief summary of what they're proposing to do?
Yes. You know, they're endlessly, first of all, Fort Bliss, almost all of Fort Bliss is in New Mexico. The gate to the base is in El Paso, and I find so many people who think that it's a Texas base, but the entrance is there, but really all of the bases in the state of New Mexico. And much of that base is 600,000 acres of BLM land that Fort Bliss manages for the Bureau of Land Management. So very huge footprint in New Mexico. And they have had several plans that they've wanted to do to expand helicopter training and landing and realistic warfare training. And they have an earlier, they're doing segmenting also, because several months ago we commented on a proposal to have what they call high-altitude military training areas, or a HAMET, in the Sacramento Ranger District of the Lincoln National Forest. And that one, they had no problems with threatening what the Lincoln considers the, let me see if I can find that now, areas within what they're proposing is currently designated as Mexican spotted owl protected activity areas. And despite that, Fort Bliss is proposing to do landing and ground training and helicopter training there. And so they segmented that project from this bigger one, which is for this low-altitude flight area, and that will involve a lot of refueling. And it's a massive area that they're looking at of southern New Mexico. And so, you know, the primary violation there was isolating the project. The statute actually says the government cannot isolate a proposed project viewing it in a vacuum, and the federal courts have consistently upheld this. But in violation of the court ruling, Fort Bliss is proposing to do more training without having telling us everything that they're actually planning on doing. And one of the problems that we've learned about is that the bases are actually in competition with each other. So even if one has unused airspace, they don't like to talk to each other. Even two Air Force bases don't like to talk to each other, and the Air Force definitely doesn't like to talk to the Army. And the public is kind of left in a vacuum for that, because they start all of these where they say they need more airspace. And we tell Fort Bliss and we tell Holloman that they have so much airspace already that they have to better coordinate and use their existing airspace. We don't want any additional airspace to be taken in New Mexico.
Yeah, so the local flying area airspace map, and we'll make this map available on the Gila Members Community Radio website, but it's also on the Peaceful Skies Coalition website at peacefulskies.org. But it's a pretty, you can see, it's a pretty huge area, extends all the way to the west over the Gila National Forest. But they do call out specifically refueling operations at the Deming Airport. It's hard to really know exactly what the plan is. One thing that kind of concerned me was that if any of these units, I guess, I don't know if that's the right term to use, get called up, it said that for quick deployment that there could be accelerated flight training that could increase to 40 or more sorties per week. That's per week. So that sounds pretty huge. It's really hard to kind of get a sense of where these planes are going to be flying from the information that they've got in the environmental assessment. Have you been able to figure that out?
It doesn't show anything else. It's not showing. I mean, I had to send Holloman the Fort Bliss map, and they acted as if they never had heard about it. I mean, I got a thank you note from the Pentagon after we submitted this comment and said that the information was very helpful. I've never had that happen before. We always do ask for a receipt every time a comment is submitted. So it, you know, it's part of that problem of the competition among bases. And some of this is also going up butting up right to areas that are Canon's space. And San Antonio, part of that is Kirtland's airspace. So when you get a map in isolation, like this one from the Fort Bliss proposal, and it has this bright blue line drawn, straight lines drawn exactly where they're all going to be flying, there are still other things that are not included in this map. And a problem, this one does show national forests, which is better than some others, but we're consistently saying we want maps to show schools, state land. We need to know where our state lands are and making sure that they're being protected, tribal lands. And, you know, just the mapping in itself. I mean, there's a book out that geographers talk about a lot called How to Lie with Maps.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the maps we see in these various NEPA proposals, they all got an A in that class.
Yes, that's right.
They're incomplete.
Yes, and the one for Holloman for their proposal is really terrible. And you can't zoom in. When you zoom in, it gets pixelated, and
right.
They just seem very conceptual. One thing I wanted to ask you, Carol, is for the Fort Bliss proposal, we didn't know about that either up here in Silver City, that we were considered, we were part of this local flying area. So no public notice here in the papers in Silver City, no public meeting. And of course, you know, the same thing on the Holloman proposal. This lack of transparency from the Department of Defense is just super disconcerting. And I'm just wondering, is this pretty standard? Did you have this situation with the Cannon Air Force Base proposal? And what do we do about it?
Well, we have tried to get help from our congressional delegation. And, you know, and certainly so have the others. There were almost no public meetings on this massive proposed takings in the Olympic Peninsula, which is a designated World Heritage Site. We also have a number of those in New Mexico. There's very little outreach, and, you know, that's something that Congress could do to require that all communities are notified. On the Fort Bliss, I heard about it quite late in the process, and there are people that go to the Fort Bliss and Holloman website every day and look for new postings. I will say that Holloman's website was down at the time that I was writing the comment for the EIS for the new airspace proposal. The website for the EIS, the draft EIS, was working, but Holloman's own website, I could not access any of the other documents or any of the other proposals that they have. I have been told that there's another EIS out there, a recent one, but I haven't had time to even look at it yet. It's just here's the thing. I monitor Pentagon contracts every day. I get the daily email from the Pentagon. And there is billions of dollars go to private corporations and groups to help do NEPA for the Air Force. And on the other end of it are community volunteers, some with nonprofits, with budgets. Mostly it's just volunteers trying to push back this very well-funded expansions underway by the Pentagon. And it's really quite unfair. So even when I comment on one Fort Bliss proposal, the one on the Hammett, that comment went to the forest supervisor. So it went to the U.S. Forest Service, where the second Fort Bliss proposal went to Fort Bliss and its contractor that was doing that proposal. And so sometimes you don't hear about it because it's the Forest Service or the BLM, and really only through our grassroots advocacy networks are we hearing about anything.
Yes, that's...
We write to Fort Bliss and we say, please, you know, here's our comment. Please keep us informed of everything else that's happening. And we do that to Holloman, and we never hear from them about anything.
Right.
We only hear from the grassroots people who are trying to, you know, protect the public lands and their communities and their wildlife. And
well, we'll talk about this in the next segment. So we'll be right back after this short break and continue our discussion on militarization of our skies with Carol Miller of Peaceful Skies Coalition. Stay tuned. Welcome Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM. This is Allison Sivig, Executive Director of the Gila Resources Information Project, and I'm your host for today's program. We're talking to Carol Miller, one of the founders and president of Peaceful Skies Coalition, about militarization of our skies. Holloman Air Force Base is proposing to expand its special use airspace possibly to the Gila region and fly 10,000 F-16 training sorties annually, including low altitude and supersonic flights, and use flares and chaff. There will be a public meeting hosted by the Grant County Commission on November 14th at 6 p.m. in the Grant County Commission chambers. Holloman has agreed to come and present its proposal and take written public comment. And there will be a rally beforehand at 5 o'clock, so please come a little bit early to the Grant County Commission Administration Building and participate in the rallies. So, Carol, Peaceful Skies Coalition was successful in stopping Cannon Air Force Base's proposal for a low-altitude training area in northern New Mexico and southern Colorado. Do you have some lessons learned for us as we oppose Holloman's proposal for the Gila region?
Yes, we had county commissions, city councils adopt resolutions of opposition as governmental entities, and that was very helpful. We had Picaris Pueblo, one of the Indian tribes in our community, came out with a very strong statement of opposition, and I think that that was quite helpful. I'm hoping that when Grant County learns the scope of what's being proposed by Holloman and Fort Bliss, you know, maybe they will consider a strong resolution making it clear that there will be harms to their community. So those are some first steps that I think are important. And the community outreach, there are so many groups, maybe a lot of people haven't worked with before, but I think we need to work with, as we did with ranching communities, they came out very strong. Also, renewable energy people got involved because there's a group in eastern New Mexico that is working on wind energy, and actually the military doesn't like renewable energy. They've opposed initiatives to do more wind farms. They say that they interfere with training, and also a lot of solar installations because they say that affects their radar and other systems. And the irony of it, for a country that's been involved in numerous wars for oil, to have that military actually blocking efforts to have renewable energy as an alternative has been a real eye-opener for a number of us.
So there's power in numbers and power in diversity of those numbers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. This is a completely nonpartisan issue. We found that there are people who support and oppose in all parties and no parties and independents, and that we don't write off any group, and we just try. We found actually sharing the information and sharing some of the harms. We had a memorial in the legislature. It did not pass. But we had hearings at the legislature about what was going on. Members of our coalition and other Stop the War Machine and other groups in Albuquerque, we try and attend legislative committee hearings at the Military and Veterans Affairs Committee, where state funds and state resources go into. This was our biggest shock, was that our state of New Mexico subsidizes the Pentagon, even though we all know that nearly two-thirds of the federal budget go to the Pentagon, you know. But
in what way is the state subsidizing the Pentagon?
Well, I sent you a copy of a bill that had been passed. Cannon Air Force Base is expanding, even though it doesn't really have the water to do that. So the legislature appropriated them $5 million to buy water rights statewide. And the only thing that Cannon did on the conservation thing is they switched their golf course to using effluent water. But they're buying up water rights to expand the base. And we haven't seen if that has happened to others. But the state provided the funds for that.
Wow.
To Cannon. The state builds a new gate at Cannon. The state builds a new clinic. on Holloman, our congressional district. Congressional delegation is always working to expand the bases. And you see that every year when they do their end-of-the-year press release on all the funding for New Mexico. The majority is always the bases and Los Alamos. And, you know, we might get a couple $100,000 for a community project, but millions, tens of millions are going to the bases. And the legislature is part of that.
Okay.
And there's some real education. And that's why we have a campaign. We thought we wouldn't need it anymore. But it's our candidatepeacepledge.org. It actually will direct you to a daughter page of the Peaceful Skies website. But we're trying to get people to reach out to candidates and reach out to community members to talk about the impacts of militarism on our state. And to try and get people, candidates and community members, to understand that there are alternatives to that. We could prioritize economic conversion, demilitarizing the economy, and holding the Pentagon accountable. The Pentagon has lost more money that cannot be traced in any audit than the state of New Mexico spends every decade. You know, and I want people to really think about that. That's money that is out there and no one knows where it went.
Hmm. So you use this peace pledge in the 2016 elections?
We did, and we've had some. We're just updating the materials now. We weren't sure we needed it, but we tabled on World Peace Day in Taos at one of the big stores in Taos, and people wanted to have the peace pledge back. People realize that not holding candidates accountable or not reaching out to them during the campaign season was a mistake. And so we're just in the process now of updating the outreach materials. We'll be sending it to all of the candidates for governor in the state of New Mexico. And we have two state senators, Jerry Ortiz y Pino of Albuquerque and my senator, Carlos Cisneros, from the Taos Rio Arriba area. They have already taken the pledge. And, you know, so we expect that more people will take it currently than did before.
So is there a website where people can find out who has taken the pledge?
Well, it's soon to be updated, but if they just think, if they remember, candidatepeacepledge.org.
Okay.
And we'll be updating. Candidate Peace Pledge also has a Facebook page. And
okay.
We just weren't sure. We thought that, I don't know, I think some of us thought the country might be in better shape right now than it is. And, you know, we just recently made a decision actually to renew the domain Candidate Peace Pledge because we realized it's needed maybe now more than ever.
Right. And this so far is just for New Mexico or is it national?
No, it's national. We did have candidates in other states. Karen Sullivan, who was a delegate, a Democratic Party delegate in the state of Washington, her county actually adopted the Peace Pledge as part of their county platform, and they brought it to the platform of the state of Washington. And then there are people in Vermont who've been circulating it, and we expect there to be actually a lot more interest in it currently than there was in 2016.
Right. And how much response did you have in New Mexico? I mean, it seems difficult in a state that has these bases and the labs, and did you have a strong response?
Well, we had a great Peaceful Skies Coalition and Stop the War Machine and Veterans for Peace did a legislative day together in 2016, and we actually distributed the Peace Pledge and some of the economic information about New Mexico to every legislative office and had just terrific conversations with, you know, both Republican and Democrat staff when we dropped off an information packet. And so we anticipate having more of that in this current legislative session coming up in January. And working with Veterans for Peace and other veterans groups has been a really good way to kind of diffuse a knee-jerk reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And to actually have a conversation with people that's deeper than just how someone might just respond to their immediate reaction. And when people realize what we're saying is to prioritize economic conversion, that's really the bottom line. You know, so many of the indicators of the state of New Mexico and the economic, just the way our economy is so divided now into very few haves with most and most with very little, that the economic disparity and how militarism and the defense contractors play into that, I think is a conversation that many New Mexicans across the political spectrum want to have. They want answers, they want solutions, and they want hope. And I think that that's one of the things that we like about saying, here's a way to create hope. So, I mean, the first thing is that they take a pledge for is, I will work to end the global epidemic of violence by prioritizing diplomacy, peacemaking, and the demilitarization of the police. And I think that that's an important discussion than the economic conversion. And then this is very important for New Mexico. There's only 3 points. I will work for the cleanup of all toxic military sites and protection of the public health. This is going to be a huge issue in the future for the whole country, but very much so for New Mexico.
Absolutely. So candidatepeacepledge.org and yes, peacefulskies.org for those of you who want more information. So Carol Miller, President of Peaceful Skies Coalition, thank you so much for talking to me today on Earth Matters.
Well, thank you for having me. And, you know, it's really important. You're all in a key part of the state that can really help us protect the environment.
Yes, and you've provided us with a lot of useful information, so I really appreciate that. So to our listeners, remember there will be a public meeting on Holloman Air Force Base's proposal hosted by the Grant County Commission on November 14th at 6 p.m. in the Grant County Commission chambers. Holloman has agreed to come and present its proposal and take written public comment. There will be a rally at 5 p.m., so please show up early. For a podcast of today's program, visit the Earth Matters program page online at gmcr.org. Thank you to our audio engineer, Kyle Johnson. And we hope you'll join us again for next week's edition of Earth Matters here on Gila Members Community Radio 89.1 FM.